You open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. I'm going to catch your mind up where we left off last week in our study in the book of Ephesians. We studied the first chapter 2 weeks ago, second chapter last week. We're going to study the whole third chapter this week. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. In whom, in Christ, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The Shekinah righteousness of God dwelt above the Ark of the Covenant, between the cherubims, above the mercy seat, in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And this Holy Spirit, this Shekinah righteousness of God, God now dwells in the hearts of all believers. God is not building a temple where he's like in jail and we go visit him and he's back here and we come here once a week and we visit him and then we go home and leave him. He's in us. We are his temple. And so God is now inhabiting his people. God, by means of the Holy Spirit, dwells in the spiritual temple in the heart of all believers. This new temple is composed of living stones. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says, ye also are living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted of God by Jesus Christ. These living stones make up a holy priesthood, which is to offer up spiritual sacrifices. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And you see that word service? That's the same Greek word that means what a priest does when he worked in the temple. And so what kind of work does God want from you this week as you are his priest working and being this new temple for him? He wants you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands.
Right.
Those of you who were drunks, God wants you to abstain from drinking. Those of you who are fornicators, God wants you to abstain from fornication. Those of you who curse, God wants you to get your cursing under control. Now, the easiest way to do that is every time you curse, say, excuse me.
Right.
Correct yourself. Stop doing that kind of stuff. Grow up. It's time to grow up. And start beginning to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And notice this next verse, and be ye not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world around you, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
So how does God want you to do that? It's just like a computer. You put garbage in, you get garbage out. You put good stuff in, you get good stuff out.
Amen.
And so God wants you to renew your mind. In Ephesians now, chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. The cause is the glorious work of the cross in making peace and bringing the Gentiles nigh, which has been previously explained in chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. I'll begin reading there, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who has made both one, both Jew and Gentile one, and having broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself twain, two, one new man, and so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, in one church, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you, which were afar off, the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, the Jews, were nigh. For through him we both Gentile and Jew, have access by one Spirit into the Father. Now therefore ye are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitteth frame together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. The verb of which I, Paul, is the subject is not given until verse 14. Now we're in verse 1. So it's like Paul says, for this cause, and then he makes a parenthesis. And then he does all this talking until verse 14, and in verse 14 he closes the parentheses and he gives the verb. Paul knew how to run on a sentence. If you think I run on sentences every once in a while, Paul knew how to run on a sentence. And so we're going to talk about this. Therefore, all the intervening verses are parenthetic. At verse 14, Paul repeats the clause for this cause and gives the verb. Paul is writing this as a prisoner in Rome because of the hatred of the Jews against the gospel. You can find that in Acts chapter 21, verse 27 and following. We're not going to read that now. No, Paul calls himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Not a prisoner of Caesar. Not a prisoner of the Roman government. Not a prisoner of the Jews. It's all a matter of attitude and perspective. The astronauts, when they're up in a space shuttle, can sit down and look and see Chicago and see Washington, D.C. at the same time and see the Gulf Coast at the same time. It's all a matter of perspective and how you look at things. Most people who would be wearing a chain and in jail is all boo-hoo and aren't they, Eddie, about, oh, boo-hoo, I'm in jail. Boo-hoo. But Paul didn't view himself that way. Paul sees himself as a prisoner with a chain, but as a special apostle of Jesus Christ and the very first missionary to the entire world. If we go back and examine when he was first arrested in Acts chapter 22, beginning in verse 17, and Paul is speaking now to the crowd of Jews who's gathered to hear his defense in the temple. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him, Jesus, saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beaten every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiments of them that slew thee. Paul was the chief prosecutor against Christianity, and God converted the chief prosecutor against him and made him the greatest of all apostles. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentile. Now that word was a bad word to the Jews, to the bigot Jews. And they gave him audience unto this word. It was like talking to a bunch of Ku Klux Klan guys and telling them God has sent me to speak and preach and save black people. They don't want black people saved, do they? Ooh. Care nothing about black people being saved. These people didn't care anything about Gentiles being saved. These are a bunch of bigots. These are a bunch of Jewish bigots that don't care anything at all about the Gentile world being saved. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And they cried out and cast off their clothes, and they threw dust into the air. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. for free downloadable a cappella singing and fair to middling gospel preaching. We got requests for singing and CDs from Uganda, Florida, and Louisiana this week. Isn't that amazing? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given unto me to you were, and that dispensation or office was his apostleship, found in Acts 22, 21. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee hence unto the Gentiles. So an apostle, it comes from a Greek word, apo, and stelo, it means off send. And he's like an ambassador, and he's sent off with a commission. And Jesus sends him off with a commission. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Paul will again declare this mystery in verse 6. But he had previously told them of the mystery in this epistle in chapter 1, chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both that are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So the mystery is the fact that the Gentiles and the Jews are going to be saved in one body and in one church. That's the mystery. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, that at that time ye were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel. They were not of the race of Abraham, and strangers from the covenants of promise. They knew nothing about these promises. We're going to read in just a minute that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. These Gentiles were down here. They were the sons of men and the nations. They were the kingdom of this world. They were a part of the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of Satan. And now by becoming Christians, they have been translated to this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ that God has been planning since before the foundation of the world. God has had one plan, and that is to save all of mankind, all of us, every one of us, the most rotten sinner that there is. God intends to save you if you will allow him, and he intends to do it in the kingdom of God and in the church of Christ and in the kingdom of heaven. He intends to do it by, if you believe, if you have faith, if you repent of your sins, you confess Christ as Lord, and you're baptized into Christ, God intends to wash away your sins. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, for this revelation that he has received, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. Whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery. What he has wrote in chapter 1, chapter 2, about what he's writing now, they can perceive his knowledge in this mystery. Ephesians 3, 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Old Testament Hebrew prophets had a glimpse of the Gentiles receiving salvation, but they did not understand their own language as we do in light of the glorious gospel of Christ. But God had always desired that the Gentiles be saved, and he often gave a glimpse in the Old Testament of the idea of the Gentiles receiving salvation in Christ. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 15, God says to Abraham, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand that is upon the seashore. Now, we can understand what that means now. This one seed, the word seed means child. This one seed, this Christ who's coming, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says, for the promises were given to Abraham and to his seed, one child, and he, God, saith, not to seeds as of many, but unto thy seed, which is Christ. This promise that was given all the way here to Abraham, that one child is coming, and he's going to redeem mankind in it. In some way, that one child is going to multiply just like the stars of heaven and the sand on the seashore. How's he going to do that? Every time a person believes, has faith, repents, confesses, and baptized into Christ, they're translated from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of his dear son. They become another star. They become another grain of sand upon the seashore. That one child, Jesus Christ, multiplies when y'all become Christians.
Yes.
That's the way that it works. In multiplying, I'll multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand that is on the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth, Gentiles too, In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. See, God gave a hint. The Gentiles are coming because thou hast obeyed my voice. And so in Genesis chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, God says to Abraham's son, Genesis 26, verse 3, sojourn, that means live in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath that I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth, Gentiles too, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Now to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. And he dreamed, Jacob did, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God descending and descending upon him. And in John 1, Jesus explains that ladder as being himself that the angels of God ascend and descend upon. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which thou liest, I will give it to thee and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and the east, and the north, and the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Gentiles too. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 and 7, Isaiah says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. He called the Christ the servant. This chapter is called a servant's song. I've called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand. When he goes to the cross, God's going to be holding his hand and keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. The Christ is going to be the blood sacrifice, the gift, the offering for a covenant of the people, and will give thee for a covenant of people. What for? For a light to the Gentiles. So God has promised that this Christ, this salvation that's going to come to open the blind's eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and then sit in darkness out of prison. And it's not talking about the type of prison that Eddie goes to. It's talking about the people that Satan has bound. Those who are blind and can't spiritually see. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6 now. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The old wall is broken down. Both Jew and Gentile are heirs alike of the gospel. Both are fellow members and fellow partakers of the church of Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you. But seeing that you put it far from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as were called to eternal life and accepted the call believed. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given unto me by the effectual working of his power. A minister to make known this mystery of God's gracious plan and purpose for the Gentiles. The gift of being the office of apostle with all of its accompanying signs, wonders of apostleship. Paul had the ability to give the supernatural gifts of the Spirit that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and following. And you see an example of that in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 and following, which were conferred only by the laying on of the apostles' hands. You can see that in Acts chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul continues on, unto me who am the least of the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. A great trust was granted unto one so unworthy as he deemed himself. And I've always felt exactly the same way, that I'm not worthy to be the preacher that God has made me. Paul was always humbled by remembering that he had been a persecutor of the church, and I continue to be humbled. by remembering that I've been a great sinner. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meant to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." In Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. In 1 Timothy 1:13, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." This grace, so glorious and so full of blessedness to the world, was the apostleship to the Gentiles. In Galatians 2, verse 7 and 8, "But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter unto the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles." Ephesians 3:9. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden by God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." All men see, Jews as well as Gentiles, are to have fellowship in one body, which is the church of Christ. From before the beginning, this was God's concept, who created all things by Christ, the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." God said, "Let there be light," and that power of the spoken word of God created everything. And that same power that said, "Let there be light," in John 1:14, says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In John 1:1-3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him," by the spoken Word of God. He created by divine fiat, out of nothing, everything that there is. He spoke it into being. "All things were made with him, by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." In Ephesians 3:10, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." To the intent, this mystery was hidden through all the ages, but is now revealed in order that the manifold, the over and over and over again wisdom of God, is made known by both preaching and announcing the gospel to all. And we see that all in verse 9, where he said all, used all in verse 9, which includes Jews, Gentiles, and angelistic beings, both good and bad. So preaching is designed to convert people. Announcing is designed to tell bad angels we have overcome. And how have we overcome? By the preaching of the cross of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. So God has made a spectacle of us unto all the world, to both good and bad angels. They all watch and they see. Good angels would like to get involved in the preaching, but it's given unto earthen vessels, unto us. Bad angels get to see what's going to happen to them someday, and their knees knock as they see what the Main Street Church of Christ is doing. You know? What the Main Street Church of Christ is doing. Not what I'm doing, what you're doing. Amen. You. I'm just a mouthpiece. That's all I am. And thank be to God for that. In 1 Peter 1:12, "And to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto." Ephesians 3:11, "According to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want you to notice, it is the. Every time the word "the" is used in the Greek and is translated "the" in English, it means the one and only. When it's the faith, there's no other faith.
When it's the church, there's no other church. When it's the Christ, there's no other Christ. I want you to notice that it is the eternal purpose, the eternal plan. God has had one plan, one purpose, from before the very beginning, I'll remind you of. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, we read that according to the eternal purpose which He proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The one and only purpose that God in all ages and through all time proposed within Himself is to save all by Jesus Christ our Lord. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before God ever said, let there be light, He had an eternal purpose, and His purpose and grace was given us. And where was it given us? It was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Titus 1:2, God who hath promised eternal life in hope of eternal life, which God, it cannot lie, promised before the world began. We have the hope, Bible hope is expectation. We have the hope of eternal life that God, who can't lie, promised before the world began. Won't you take Him up on this promise? Won't you shake hands with Him? Often somebody tells me something, I'll do this, and I just stick out my hand and shake hands with them. I'll take you up on that. Why won't you take God up on His promise? God promised eternal life. Why won't you stick out your hand and come to Him in the appointed way by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, putting your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ as Lord, and having your sins washed away? Why won't you shake with God and take Him up on His promise? Because that's what He promised. And He promised it all the way back here before He ever said, let there be light. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free a cappella singing and fair to middling gospel preaching. And the hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. In 1 Peter 1:20, who verily, speaking of Jesus, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. See, He was foreordained to come, live the perfect sinless life and die. And He was foreordained to do that before the creation, before the foundation of the world ever began. He was foreordained to come and do that. And now He's manifest, but was manifest in these last times for you. The last time simply means the last time God's going to deal with people. This is the last age. There's not going to be any other age. It's the age of the church, the age of grace. It's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's nothing else. God's not going to send any more new revelation. You've got the whole revelation here in the book.
Amen.
He's not going to give us nothing else. The revelation is complete. It is the last time, the last age, the last revelation, the last dispensation. There's no other dispensation coming. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Doesn't mean that He's chose us and rejected others, but rather that He chose a plan. And that plan is to have all men saved in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And what did He choose us to be? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The way that you know that I am a Christian is that I've stopped robbing banks and I'm now giving to the poor.
Amen.
That's how you know that I'm a Christian, is that I have become holy. I no longer steal. I no longer curse. I no longer shoot people. I no longer do wickedness. And there is a whole church of people here that's the same way. Has any of y'all been sinners?
Yeah.
A lot of us has been sinners. And we're trying our very best to stop.
Amen.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we're perfect and that we're Mr. Clean or Pat Boone. It just means we're trying to stop. And every time we goof, what do? We say, God, have mercy on me. I goofed. I don't want to do that no more. I'm not going to look at no more wild women. I'm not going to, whatever it is that's wrong, and we do, we repent of it, and we confess it, and we stop it.
Right.
He has chosen us, having predestinated us. It's a predestined plan. And the predestined man is Jesus, not me. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children, what God predestined is that He was going to adopt Gentiles. We were going to become just like Jews in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of heaven. It is a predestined plan that from before the foundation of the world, God chose that plan how He was going to save people unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He's a sovereign God. He can do anything He wants to. He's the biggest bear in the valley. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things to the counsel of His own will. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Notice, it's the faith. And it's the faith of what? It's not by faith, not by my faith. It is by the faith of Him. And what is the faith of Him? It's Christianity. It's what He came and established. So how can we have boldness to approach God with the blood of Christ all over us? Just dripping in the blood of Christ, we can approach God. And we can approach Him boldly if we're dripping in the blood of Christ.
Amen.
But if we come in our own righteousness, He's going to squash us like a bug.
See?
Because all men are sinners.
Amen.
Everybody is a sinner.
Yeah.
So we can have boldness and confidence in approaching Him if we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in Him. Both Jew and Gentile can come boldly to God. Notice the definite article before the faith, and it means the gospel, the faith, the way, the pure religion established by Jesus Christ. Without the revelation of Christ, we would not know anything about God's love. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Seeing that I, Paul, have revealed this mystery unto you, do not become discouraged at his suffering as a prisoner on account of the Gentiles. Notice the plural tribulations. He's got a whole bunch of tribulations, a whole bunch of problems. You guys got a bunch of problems, don't you? Every one of us has got a bunch of problems.
Amen.
It shows many tribulations came in his work as an apostle of the Gentiles. All the apostles suffered. The early church suffered. And you suffered. Hence, you're suffering in a work that makes you the special heirs of eternal glory and a spectacle to the universe, because you're suffering and you're turning the other cheek, you're persevering, you're keeping on, you're trusting in God, you're believing in Christ, and with your last breath you're going to say, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14. For this cause, now here, Paul has gone back and he's emptied the end of the parentheses. You remember he began in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul. Now he's going to pick up where he was. All of this stuff that we've just studied since the very beginning of this lesson when we first started is just like being in parentheses. It's in parentheses. He just took off and came in his mind and he just took off and taught it off. Now he's going to put the verb in there where he started. For this cause I, Paul, what?
Bow the knee
unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the fountain of all mercy and blessing. And Paul now resumes his thought that he gave. And he gives the verb of verse 1 by repeating the clause, for this cause. Ephesians 3:1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Ephesians 3, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
The idea is that the Father, God is the Father. The Father is the Father of all families of His children, whether Jew or Gentile, on earth or in heaven. He's the Father in heaven to every believer of every race in the world and the world to come. All, as far as creation is concerned, derive their being from Him, just as children from the parents. All the saved are His spiritual children. If you notice Jesus' genealogy in Luke chapter 3 through Mary, it says who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. God is the Father of us all. How did we become different races? It's a real simple thing. We've studied this about the flood. After the flood, the earth began to break apart. We're told in Genesis 10 that in the days of Peleg, the earth split. Peleg means earthquake. Split means divided. So the earth began to break apart and split. And the gene pool on each continent was limited. And so some people went to Africa. Some people went to China. Some people went to Scandinavia and Northern Europe. And races developed by the gene pool being limited, and those people interbreeding just among themselves, and the environmental conditions that went on there, the climate and what people eat. If you go to China and you live there for 5,000 years and you eat fish heads and rice, you're going to be yellow and you're going to have slant eyes. It's just that simple. Just that simple. And if you go to Scandinavia and you eat seals and you don't get much sunshine, you're going to be white and blonde-headed. Do you know malaria shows that there can't be any such thing as evolution because of its ability to reprogram itself immediately? Every time they start making a medicine that'll stop malaria, it'll reprogram itself. People adapt quickly. It doesn't take millions of years for black people and white people and yellow people and brown people and red people to develop. It only takes thousands of years. Of whom all the family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16. What is he praying for? That he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Paul now states the thing that he prays for the brethren at Ephesus, according to the riches of his glory, in the degree which would correspond to God's glory. Strengthened, that is, their spirits might be strengthened by God's Spirit, that they might be endowed with the might of spiritual gifts, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. This is the second petition, that they lay hold of Christ by the faith in the faith or in the gospel, that he will always be a present salvation in their hearts, and their hearts that will be filled with love. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. That's love, agape, love. But the greatest of these is love. Ephesians 3:18. It may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, unless they were rooted and grounded in love, and the love of God was shed abroad in their hearts, it'd be impossible for them to comprehend the exceeding riches of the love of Christ. This is the climax of the prayer, the part that the other petitions lead to. Indeed, from the very beginning of this letter, he has been declaring the love of Christ that Christ showed to the Gentile world. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. One of the paradoxes that they could know something of the love of God, of Christ, but they could never fully comprehend the infinite. Pressing right on along now to Ephesians 3:20. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. They knew something of the mighty workings of the Spirit of God, and therefore his divine power. But he wants them to understand that God is able to do above all that we can conceive. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We really can. Remember that there used to be just 40 of us here, and all of them died but five. And now there's way over 200 members in this church. And we buried hundreds and hundreds and sent them to glory in the last 16 years, hadn't we? Remember when we were feeding 20 people 16 years ago?
Any of you remember that? Now over 2,000 meals. You remember that, Betty? You remember that? We were feeding 20 people 16 years ago. And now over 2,000 meals go out of here every week to the poor and homeless. Remember when we leaped in faith and got a radio program for the year? And we thought that we were just tearing the world up. And now we've got 3 hours to all of North Texas. 7 million souls in our broadcast area. Remember when we started the internet ministry? It's December 06, 2.5 years ago. We had 635 hits our first month. 635 hits. Now we're having 80 to 100,000 hits a month.
Amen.
A million a year. Can we really do all things through Christ who strengthens us?
Yes.
Now let's look back at Ephesians 3:20. Paul's trying to get them to understand what the possibilities are. I quickly got to tell you this story. Years ago, I had a company and I took some men out to lunch, and they were right at the corner of Forest Lane and Preston. There was a chicken place there, Youngblood's Chicken, I think it was. And right across the street was a farmer's insurance group. And so just as we pulled up, I seen the farmers let out, and they're all rushing over there to Youngblood's. And I said, let's get in there quick. Let's get in there quick, man, and beat all these people. So we went in there, and we got our order in first. And so I get back to the office, and I'm selling speed reading courses. And I've got a guy that's making about the rate of $100 a week. And I called him in the office, and I said, Harold, did you see all them people coming out of Farmers Insurance today at noon? He said, I sure did. I said, does that give you any idea? He said, I sure seen it. He said, you know what I could do? I could meet with them people, and I could sell every one of them a speed reading course. And I said, I bet you do. I bet you do. So I sent him out, and I called Paul in. And I said, Paul, now this guy's making about the rate of $25,000 a year. And I said, Paul, did you see all them people coming out of Farmers Insurance today at noon? He said, I sure did. He said, you know, I seen something. He said, they all eat in groups. He said, I could go over there and join them at lunch, and I could pitch 4 or 5 of them at one time. I said, I bet you can do it. I bet you can do it. And I had another guy. He's making about the rate of $100,000 a year. He's making a lot of money. And I called him in, and I said, did you see all them people coming out of Farmers Insurance today at noon? He said, I sure did. He said, you know something? I called over there, and I've got an appointment with the management of that company. And when they know what this course will do for them, they'll buy it for all their employees. 3 people saw the same thing, and they saw 3 different things. It's perspective. God wants us to open our perspective to missions here. He wants the gospel to go to the whole wide world. It's in your bulletin. 51 countries as of this morning.
Yes.
51 countries as of this morning. Now Paul is saying now to him that is able. And I can just see Paul, he's dictating to his scribe. And he's walking along and he says, now to him who's able. He said, no, that doesn't say it. That doesn't say it. That just doesn't get it across. Now to him who's able to do. No, that doesn't explain it. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly. No, that doesn't explain it. Just doesn't explain it good enough. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Still doesn't explain it. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. Still doesn't explain it. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or all that we think. We can't dream of what the possibilities are. According to what? According to the power that's where? Up at the throne of God. But where's he put it? Worketh, energizes. Energos is a Greek word. Beam me down, Scotty. Energize. Energizes who? Us. The Main Street Church of Christ. Ephesians 21, unto this God that can do that, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages, world without end. Literally, the Greek here is unto the generation of the ages of ages, through all the endless succession of ages, throughout all the time. Throughout all time, To glory be to the God that can give the Main Street Church of Christ 1 million hits this year. Let's go to 5 million next year. Let's start thinking of ways to have 5 million hits.
Amen.
Let's expand our thinking. Let's grow this thing. We're just getting started. Pedal just a little harder on the bicycle. Pull just a little harder on the rope with me. Let's conquer the whole wide world. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. The Bible says, "For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even as many as believe on His name." Then the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Not only do we need to receive Him and believe in Him, but we need to put our faith and trust and confidence in God to save us. The Bible teaches us we need to repent, for the times of this ignorance God has winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible teaches we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the Bible teaches that we need to be baptized into Christ.
Yes.
On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If you're here this morning and you need to become a Christian, now's your opportunity. You can come and have all your sins washed away. If you have to sin in your life, those of you that need the help of the church, the prayers of the church, you can come. To our radio audience, we'd encourage you to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, "What must I do to be saved?" before it's everlasting too late. Won't you come now while we stand and sing? Stand up, brother, and face the church. This is me in the hospital, and I was in the hospital. Brother Tom, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
I do.
Now I want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord. Say, "Lord Jesus."
Lord Jesus.
Amen. If you go in right over here, brother, we'll baptize you straight away.
Amen.
Thank you.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins.